Hello and welcome to Feel Good with Jo, your Friday guide to leading a happy and healthy life. Each session, I talk to an expert in an area of health and well-being to get their tips and ideas on how to manage the busy and often stressful lives we lead. And I'm really excited to be joined again by Carolann Rice. So Carolann was one of my favourite interviewees last year. And Carolann is an author. Her book, Find Your Dream Job, is available in all good bookstores, and the new book is out this year. She's a columnist in the Daily Express. Her column is called Happy Monday, and it's out every Monday. And she's an expert life coach working with clients all around the world. Hi, Carolann.
Hello, Jo. Lovely to be back. Thank you for inviting me.
It's a pleasure. So today our topic is a sustainable alternative to New Year's resolutions. So it's mid-January, and by this time people are usually already beginning to fail on their resolutions, and you know, maybe one or two make the cut and the rest begin to fall by the wayside. And so I wanted to really discuss with Carolann, for whom I know that this is an area of interest, what goes wrong with New Year's resolutions? Why don't they work in the way that they're expected to?
Well, it's a good question. And you see, as a life coach, any day of the year can be New Year's Eve. You can change your life any day of the week, any time of the year, any month. So it doesn't have to be just in the coldest, most miserable, bleakest time of the year you decide to change your life, which of course is when we usually do this, which is January, all a bit tired, a bit toxic, a bit overweight, probably a little bit broke as well. And not really the best environment in which to get all your energy behind creating some fantastic new goals. Probably you're even beginning to feel a little bit weather fatigued. I mean, it's been one of the wettest years on record. It doesn't look like it's getting that much brighter at the moment. So, you know, there are a lot of things conspiring to sabotage our goals and our big dreams for the year. So what I always think is, when you set these great targets for yourself, make sure the conditions are right. How are you really feeling? Have you got all the equipment and information you need to lose weight or to drop a toxic habit or to take up something new? Are you actually ready? Because I really do think you have to be in the state of mind to really want to make these changes. And sometimes it isn't in January, it might be in March when the bulbs start coming through, in which case you might like to spend the next 6 weeks preparing for that time. A bit of good weather does give us all a nice boost. So sometimes it's worth thinking, well, maybe if the weather gets a bit better, then I can go out for a morning run, or it'd be easier to go to the gym or to eat lighter foods. But preparing to reach your goals is all part of it, not just jumping in, but making proper preparations too.
And so I think that's really useful. It triggers off for me something that we talk about in Bart Flower Remedies, which is really there is a season for the flower remedies. And right now, the season it's really over. It's not the right time for this sort of new growth and this excitement and the budding of new ideas. And actually, there's only one flower that's really in bloom at the moment, which is gorse. Now, gorse is an interesting flower because gorse is the flower that we use for the chronic condition of hopelessness. So for having lived with a situation in your life or indeed a health condition for so long, it just becomes almost part of your identity and masks who you really are. And so what you were saying about, you know, is it the right time of year? Would it be better to actually prepare the ground and move a bit more with nature and, you know, have what I've written down, seasonal living and seasonal goal setting, really? Would that actually be more useful? And so just almost as a side tip, if you are feeling this sort of sense of heaviness in the body and this sense of hopelessness that I'm not going to be able to change whatever the situation that's causing difficulty, have a look for gorse. So shops like Neil's Yard Remedies, for example, tend to stock bark flowers, or you can just buy them from healingherbs.co.uk. So thanks. That really, you know, that really crystallised something for me. But I wanted to talk a little bit more about how do you prepare for a goal, and how do you know when you're ready?
Well, I think we all know what it's like to start a new diet with great intention to lose weight and find that we've given up after a few weeks. And we can do this so many times. They call it yo-yo dieting. The next new diet comes out, we try that or exercise, and we just give up. Now, I have been doing this myself for quite a few years. And it was this last year, I think I've got to the state where I was really, really ready to make the commitment, and the diet that came along was just right for me, and I ended up for the first time in 15 years losing a stone and a half, which I've carried with me since having my two children. And it was a huge battle of self-sabotage going on. Should I, can I stick with this, what if I give up now? And I pushed myself through it and got there, but in the end it was about mindset and the time being just right. I could have done this 2 years ago and probably not have lost the weight. And I just think that sometimes things have to be, you have to be really, really ready, you have to really want it. You have to see the benefits of it, and that can go for anything like smoking or taking up a new hobby. If you go in with a half-hearted attitude, which is, yes, it would probably do me good to stop smoking, but you can't really in your heart see the benefit of it, you're more and more likely to give up. But if you genuinely want the thing and you build in a good safety net of time, obviously no overnight quick fixes, you give yourself many months to get to your goal, a realistic time frame, and you take it steadily, you can get there. I really do think it has to be that you want it a lot, that you're being realistic with your planning and what you're looking out to achieve, and that it seems ready, you're ready for it, you're absolutely ready to commit to it now. And it's a bit like, someone described it the other day, is that when you become a vegetarian, as some of your listeners probably are, you don't sometimes eat meat and then sometimes not and then still call yourself a vegetarian. You make the commitment, I do not want to do this anymore. Make sure you really want it, so you say, no, actually, I'm not going to eat a big vat of ice cream when I go to bed every night. I don't do that anymore. Or, no, I'm not going to smoke, because it becomes your new philosophy, your new choice. And if you want it enough, you stick by it out of your own integrity. Does that make sense? You've almost like set it up for yourself. But this is one of the rules that I have now set down for myself, which support me, which I like, and which is my choice.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. And reflecting on it, just as you were talking, I was thinking, well, yes, I really recognise that. And I hear something when people are talking about a commitment that they've made. So they sound different. There's a different type of... usually the voice is lower when somebody tells you, I've decided this, and they really, really mean it. The voice actually changes. And there is a quality of assurance rather than a quality of, I'm still trying to convince myself that I'm going to do this. So that's one thing that came to mind. And the other thing that came to mind that I just wanted to share, because maybe it'll be useful for somebody else. This is my year for really, I am not running myself down. That's it. That's my, if I'm going to have a New Year's resolution, it's going to be, I am managing my self-talk. And if I talk to myself and I'm telling myself, you know, I'm not as good as so-and-so at this, or, you know, I'm not able to manage that, the only thing it can do is make it more likely that I won't be as good as so-and-so on whatever. So that's really been my sort of crystallization over the Christmas and New Year, is I'm just not doing that anymore. And I invite anybody who's listening who wants to join me. We're not going to run ourselves down. It can't, if you think about it, what possible good can it do? It can't. That's it. It can only have a negative effect. But I also wanted to share something in terms of why I myself think that New Year's resolutions have this sort of built-in fault. We tend to rush. So we tend to rush into them without having closed the year before. So closing can mean two things. Closing can mean really looking at what went beautifully, you know, what you did that surprised you, that made you proud of yourself, experiences that you had that were just so cherishable, and really cherishing them, really taking the time to review and think, wow, that was a wonderful concert I went to, or I had such a beautiful time when I met those friends for lunch, and I want to do more of that. But also then to mourn the parts of the year which perhaps didn't go so well. And you have to do both. You have to really, really take in the good stuff that happened and have a space for saying, okay, so this didn't go well, or you know, maybe you're literally mourning in the sense of having had somebody die, which interestingly a lot of people I've been talking to over the Christmas period are in that situation when they've had a bereavement, and you have to give it time. And so I have this sort of feeling is that it's a little way into the new year before you actually know what you really want, and then you can start to prepare, and then you're more likely to get to the being ready. So I wanted to ask you just a little bit more to describe the hallmarks of a powerful, authentic goal. How would you help somebody work out what's really authentic? Because people don't always know what they want.
No, they don't. And I think even having your first goal is I want to get clarity. That in itself is the first goal. So I really would like to get some vision or some focus on what it is I want this year. So let that be, even if you don't know, let that be your first goal. And then I would say very, very simply, on a piece of paper, write out what you don't want to do anymore. And usually people find that's the easiest step. This is what I don't want in my life anymore. And it could be, as you say, running yourself into the ground, overworking, feeling tired, being around people that drain your energy, putting up with bad behavior off a colleague or a boss. So write out your kind of, you know, what I don't want list, and then start thinking, well, even if it's the vaguest things, what do you want? And the big question I would ask yourself is, what excites you? What is the thought of something that really excites you? If it excites you to think that you could take up a new hobby or travel more or feel more energized or get into a pair of trousers you haven't worn for years, really think about what would that feel like? Why does it excite you? What is it about that goal or that feeling that is pulling you forwards? And I think it doesn't have to be something huge. It could just simply be, I'd like to feel this way more, in which case, what do you need to start doing in order to allow that feeling in?
And that really reminds me of a conversation I had just last night, actually, when we were setting a goal in relation to one of the businesses I run. And we were asked to buddy up with the person sitting next to us and to share just one goal. And it was really funny because I had this really, you know, very classic business goal. And then this lady just turned to me and said, I just want not to rush. That's it. I just want not to rush. And also, it was interesting the effect it had on me because as she said it, I just had this moment of, yeah, I want that too. You know, and it was this really congruent goal. It was really from deep down inside her, and it was so simple, but one that would, you know, really create space in the whole of her life. So I absolutely loved it. Doesn't always have to be huge. And the other thing is, it doesn't have to be something you think you ought to want. In fact, if you think you ought to or you should, that's usually the kiss of death.
Rely on want-to power rather than willpower, which is, I want to make healthy choices. I want to rush less. I want to do these things rather than, I better not because I'm trying not to do this, or I better say no to that, or I can't do this because I'm on a special diet. That just sounds like it's restricting your life, and it's not sustainable over a long period. It might help you get there in the short term, but it's not. You're not going to be able to want to keep that up forever. So ask yourself, what can I do that I want to do that's going to help support me here?
And I think that's a really good point to use as our summary, because that's empowering. I want to exercise more. I want to have more space and time to spend with the children. I want to develop my personal, you know, my personal or professional skills in this way or that way. That's something which you can sort of feel your spirits rise when you think about it, rather than this sort of feeling of something being held over you. So I think that's a really wise place to leave it. And I guess my three watchwords for myself for the year are sustainability and being realistic and being on purpose. So those are the benchmarks that I'm choosing to use. You know, is this moving me towards my purpose? Is it realistic? And is it sustainable? Is it something that I can keep doing over time? And it's much more likely to be the case if it's something I really want rather than something I think I ought to want. So thanks so much, Carolann, for joining us again. And where would people find out more about your work or contact you if they had any questions for you?
Well, my website is The Real Coaching Company, realcoachingco.com. I have a lovely website. There's a few little funny films on there. And there's a newsletter that people can sign up to. Also, every Monday in the Daily Express, I write about happiness in the Happy Monday column. So either of those two places, you'll find me.
Wonderful. Thanks so much, Carolann. And looking forward to our next Feel Good with Joe in 2 weeks' time, when we'll be joined by another expert in health and well-being. Brooklyn's Radio.